Pain can either break you or it can build you. The same struggle that almost broke you can be the fire that fuels your passions. What if the very things that you've been through, the setbacks, the heartbreaks, the rock bottoms, are actually pointing you towards your true calling? Welcome back to the Clean Life Cast, where healing becomes a movement. I'm your host, Mason Anderson, and this is my co-host, Daniel Tapasula. This deep week, we're diving into something that we all wrestle with, purpose. We talked about brokenness, we talked about perseverance, but today we're asking, what does it all mean? Because if pain is just pain, it can feel pointless. But if pain becomes your purpose, it can change everything. Daniel and I are going to talk about how to find meaning in the struggle and how the hardest parts of life can become the fuel for the mission that we are made for. So I just want to ask you, Daniel, if you were talking about purpose, what would that mean to you personally in your life?
It means a lot. Like, purpose is about everything, right? Like, I heard Deion Sanders say, he walks life with purpose. You won't catch him anywhere just randomly wandering about. If you find him somewhere, he was there on purpose. And I feel like purpose is what you were telling me before we started, is the why behind everything, right? The pain has purpose, but you have to be willing to learn from it. Like, all the pains and all the struggles, they all have purpose. They all have meaning. They all have something to inspire you to be something, but it's how you take it. Like, you can take the hurt and the pain and just play victim to it, or you can use it as gas to go. I've learned that purpose for my heartaches and my pains and all the suffering I've been through, it took a while, but it helped me get to where I'm at right now. Like, all of that meant something, but I had to learn from it, you know? Like, I was just reading this thing and it said the purpose is the why, like the why you go through things, and figuring out the why and making sure it means something in order to get you to a better headspace. And it's how you take it. It's what you learn from it. And my purpose, I feel like now, is where I work. And it's not just where I work. I work at Wasatch Recovery. And working up there has shown me that my purpose is service, is helping other people that are just like me, struggling through the same things I've been through. Like, none of us walk the same path, but we have similarities throughout it. And my purpose feels like doing the next right thing, helping people that come behind me and follow those that led the way. And that's what purpose feels like to me. It's just doing the next right thing, understanding that, like, the service. My purpose is, I feel like for me, is to help other people, and I love it. And it's not just at work. Like, sitting down and talking to Mason, I was just sitting down at my sober living, talking with a bunch of people, and it could just be random talking or purpose filled. And yeah, I don't know, like, it just feels good, and I understand my purpose. I have a hard time describing it, but I know what it is for me.
Yeah, and I love that. And I think that, like, purpose can be something that you're passionate about. It can be something you do for a career. It can be something that you do just on the side. It's not like something that has to necessarily have any type of, like, parameters around it. But I think that, like, once you find that passion and that purpose in your life, it can be the fueling that pushes you towards the next great thing. Like, I really think that, like, purpose for me was a game changer, because, like, my whole life I knew that I had, like, I had something in me that knew that there was something more for me. I knew that, like, I wanted it, but I literally had no clue what direction to go or how I was going to get there or if it would ever happen. And through that struggle was, like, through that, those feelings, I felt just defeated, you know? And then, so with the shift and everything changing, like, it started out with body, mind, spirit. Like, I got healthy. Cause, like, when you're not healthy in those areas and you're in survival mode, it's real hard to really focus on the things that you're passionate about or the things that you feel is your purpose. But once those things got aligned and I was like, okay, like, I need to find what it is that I'm here to do. And I found that, like, through service, which I didn't necessarily have, like, a heart of a service in the beginning, you know, like, it wasn't like I was like, oh, I'm going to go serve the world, you know, like, it was like real selfish times and real, like, trying to figure out myself and go inward. And then I realized that, like, if I could develop that heart of service, that, like, I could make an impact on the people around me, the people I cared about, the people that I seen out in the world that needed help. And so when I look at the purpose aspect, it's like, I finally found my purpose in serving other people. And then that's where Clean Life came about. And that's where, like it started in treatment. Like, I started to see that I had an ability to help people understand certain concepts or feelings that they were going through. And I was like, you know what? Well, if I do that thing, it wasn't for a job. It was for friends. It was because I cared. It was because like I really loved the people I was next to and wanted to see them succeed. And so that just evolved into like real work for me, because now it's like I do it for God. I do it for my family. I do it for you. I do it for our friends. I do it for the shit, the stuff that matters to me.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Two things stood out to me though, right? Like you said that, which is pretty cool. It'll be relatable. You had this purpose mindset when you were young. I didn't find out anything about purpose until right about 2 years ago, which just goes to show that just because you don't feel like you have it now, it doesn't mean it will come. It won't come. Like Mason had this understanding about him that there was something greater for him. I just thought my life was the best it was ever going to be. I was just in a settling mindset. Like, this is the best I'm ever going to be. I might as well just not try my best until I got to Wasatch and I found purpose. And the second part is where I forgot you were just talking about getting used to the understanding of your mindset and getting better at it. Throughout my life, the you can't do nothing, you're not worthy of anything was a learned behavior. And the way you're talking about your purpose and your passion, right? It's understandable that it's not the way you want it right now, because all my failings and all my roadblocks in my way was a learned behavior. Like, I was taught that I couldn't do anything good. I was taught that there's no value to my life. I wasn't worthy of anything, and I had to retrain my mind to be able to find passion, right? And I'd rather have passion than work. Like, what I do right now for work is my passion. It's not just a job. It's something I love to do, like what you're saying. I love going to work, yet to find an excuse to call in sick. That's what I love about the difference between passion and just a job. And I'm not saying just having a job is not the way to go about it. It doesn't, passion, your passion and your purpose doesn't have to consume your whole time, but you should have some passion or something that you love to do. I just got lucky that what I love to do is service. I'm the same way. I wasn't going about trying to serve. My mission is to be Jesus, you know, like it just taught, teaches this four principles. I call it the SHAI principle. It's SHAI. It's service, honesty, accountability, integrity, and service plays a big part in my recovery. Because Todd was talking about, if you have a bad day, go be of service to somebody and then come back and talk to me about how you feel. And I feel like I have passion for that. That's my purpose.
Like, if you want it, you give it away. If you need love, you go give love. If you need respect, you go give out respect. If you need accountability, you go hold people accountable. It's like, it's the way that the universe works, and it's the way that is promised, you know, is if you have something, give it away and it will come back tenfold.
And it's hard to do, right? Like, it's hard to do those things until you start doing them. It's like if you want to be smart and learn something new, the first thing you'll feel is dumb.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? And until you learn these things, and then when you finally understand how to do it, you'll realize that you're smart and capable. If you want to be strong, you're going to feel weak first, because you're trying something new in order to be strong. And then when you complete the first task of, like, lifting, now you realize that you are strong and capable. If you want to be brave, first thing you're going to feel is fear.
Right.
Right? And then you overcome these fears, and all of a sudden you're brave. So doing all these things will feel uncomfortable at first. Holding somebody accountable will feel strange, because it's not, again, it's a learned behavior. Going with that, like, trying anything new will feel weird and will feel uncomfortable, but that's where the growth happens, is in the uncomfortability of it.
Right, you know? And staying uncomfortable is important in finding your purpose and your passion and pushing yourself to, like, to expand out of your little comfort zone. And I think that, well, first of all, I want to point out that, like, Daniel doesn't know any of these questions I'm about to ask him, but the very next question was, did you feel like you always have purpose, or did it come out of pain? So that just is alignment right there. But I feel like the, like, sticking to, like, pushing yourself to be in barely outside your comfort zone. I mean, you don't have to be out there just, like, miserable, but you'd be out there just making sure that you're pushing yourself to the next point, because staying in your comfort zone gets you nowhere. Yeah. And so I feel like that, like, that's, I think, one of the greatest purpose or things that came from, I talked about this last week, but, like, one of the greater things that came from being in recovery was that, like, I had to do a lot of things that were super uncomfortable for me. I had to, like, act a whole different way than I've been used to. And, like, I had to really, like, consciously say, you know what, like, this is scary, or this is uncomfortable, or this is causing me pain, but I'm going to sit in it. I'm going to learn to emotionally regulate I'm going to learn to hold my friends accountable because I care about them. I'm going to help push them just as much as they help push me. And then together we're going to rise. And I think that all that like is the groundwork for finding that purpose.
Yeah. Lindsay was, I was going through some stuff and Lindsay said, what a great opportunity for you to level up. And I was like, how do you mean? And she said, the greater the uncomfortability, the bigger the level up. And talked me through what she meant by that. And it was such a cool conversation. Shout out to Lindsay. I learned so much from this girl.
Shout out, love that girl. She's amazing. Really.
And she just told me, like, the more uncomfortable you are about doing something new, the bigger the level up is going to be for you. So get into those situations. And if it does, we was talking about community last week. If it does get overwhelming, if it does feel like something too hard, stop, reach out and get a hold of people that you know will understand what you're going through and share your pain and help you get through some of these things. But yeah, definitely shout out to Lindsay because she helped me. I was struggling with this thing that came up and she's somebody that I consider a quarter in my life and I know I can reach out to her anytime and she'll, if she has the time, I know she'll help me throughout it. And yeah, she explained to me about uncomfortability and that I should have a lot of gratitude around any feeling of uncomfortability. So yeah, thank you, Lindsay.
Thanks, Lindsay. So why do you think that people try to like run from that pain or instead of trying to like learn the lessons through it?
Because it's something new, right? Usually the underlining emotion of mad is fear. And like, when these situations come up, the first thing, or at least for me, is I would yell at it. I would be annoyed by it. And of course, I went to drugs because I didn't want to feel it. But now, the mindset that I am, these are situations where, man, I thrive in. You know, I've been given tools and the knowledge on how to use them in order to get better at me, just being me. And I understand the fear of holding people accountable, of being honest. I was just conversating with some people down there, and they said that it's cool to be able to not have to worry about who I told what to. Like, I told you the truck I was driving was blue. I told somebody else it was green, and trying to remember that I told you it was blue, and I told him it was green. And I told him, I heard this guy talk in a meeting, and he said, if you're honest, you don't need a good memory, because you only tell one story to everybody. And you know, like, all those things are just weird and strange and something I don't want to deal with in my past. Now it's things I know that, and I understand that if these things do come up in my life, it's an opportunity for me to get better at me and just being me better. Being a better me is better for everybody just by working on me. True. And I love those situations when they do come up, you know?
Yeah, I think that's huge. I think being your authentic self is like the main goal, and like learning to actually remove all the things that stand in the way of you being that authentic, true form. Yeah. And then as you do that, then it becomes like your purpose really is just to live your best life, to be your person.
That's the true purpose, right? Yeah, I remember when I was still up at residential, somebody said, just keep working on you. Everything you lost in your addiction, you'll get back. And I believe that for a while, but if I was to hear that person say that again today, I would call BS, because everything I lost in my addiction, my relationship with my family was a big one. That was bull crap. The things I gained back is way better version of it.
Way better.
Like, way better. Like, I can sit and chop it up with my daughter and have more compassion of things she's going through. When I had no idea what compassion was before I gone through this journey, I know how to express love, show love, and receive love, which is something that was strange to me, because the only way I expressed love was like, love you, that's it. But there was no feeling behind it. So all these things, like, yeah, you lose things in your addiction, but the things I've gained back are way better versions of it.
And I love that so much, because that's so true for me too.
Yeah, but that's just by working only on you, right? Like working on me made me better for everybody else around me.
Well, and that's something that like I learned through like a lot of reading, a lot of like books that I've been reading, and like they always teach that same thing, that like you can't change your external world. Like, you can't, like, you're not in control of like the things that are out there, other people, situations, things that you're in. The only place that you can do work is inward. Yeah. And like, as you change that inward piece, then it change the reflection of your inside is what your outward life looks like.
Yeah.
And like, and that's been so true for me, because as I built those things that Todd talked about, the integrity, the accountability, the honesty, the service, as I built those things inwardly, my life completely transformed into so much better versions of everything that I wished
around you, right?
That I thought that I needed when I was really struggling.
Yeah. There's a quote that goes along with that. It goes, I will no longer be a product of I will no longer be a product of my environment. My environment will be a product of me. And that's me working on me. And then everything around me becomes a product of me. I'm not going to sit around and I'm going to sit around and practice honesty around me, and everything around me turns into honesty. I'm going to practice service around me, in me, and then there's service all around me. Everything about my environment, every place I put myself is a product of me. Mason is a product of me, and I'm a product of Mason. And that's how our community works. That's how I have love, so much love for Mason. But everything... Sure. Go back to purpose. I'm here on purpose. I wasn't just wandering outside and came into his doors. There's a purpose for me to be here, and it's to be around people like Mason. It's to talk to people like you guys who are just like me, struggling with the same mindsets as me. And this is just us working through it.
Healing through it, bro.
Yeah, this healing. This is where healing becomes a movement.
That's right.
Most definitely. Yeah.
Because it really is so important for that piece that's like, that like everybody realizes that, like, I think last week I talked a lot about, like, it's hard and there's a lot of struggle and there's a lot of pain, which all that's true. Like, I ain't lying. But the truth of it is like that struggle and pain and all that stuff that you go through is so worth it because of what Daniel just said. It's like it comes back tenfold, and it becomes like each experience that you're going through becomes a beautiful experience, because you're like, even the hard things, you know, you're really grateful that you can learn through the hard stuff, or that you're really grateful that when you get your relationship back with your family, it's so much stronger and you have like a real connection, or that even just feeling of love, like the love in my heart is a lot different than it ever had been in the past.
Yeah. My daughter FaceTime, like, I've never FaceTimed my daughter in my life until after my recovery journey. And then one time she FaceTimed me to show me that she knows how to cook Spam and Eggs better than me.
Ah, let's go.
And they, like, that's the relationship I have with her now. She put me on game with some anime that she watches, and she's supposed to come down. Just things that, like, we never would have done if I never was in my addiction. Like, you know, the settling mindset versus the acceptance of I'm cool with where I'm at because I know if I put in work, I can get better.
Right. And that's something that I live by, that mantra, for the last like month or so, where it's like I truly believe in my heart and soul that if I need to figure out a way, I will find it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's like nothing's going to stop me. I'm going to, even if it's the biggest project or the smallest project, like if there's a will, there's a way, and I'm going to make it happen. And the fact that I have the ability to learn from the right people, or I can read the right books, or I can, you know, research the right research or whatever it may be, but I'm going to figure it out, because nothing is too big for us to handle and if you can't do it alone, you got a group that will help.
Yeah, get yourself a good group. But going through all those things, that's, I tell people, it's God's sense of humor. He'll put us through tests of something we know nothing about, and when the test is completed, here's the lesson about what you just did.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because, and that's why these walls or these barriers or these struggles that we go through are so hard, because we never got the lesson, yet we're facing the test. And when the test is completed, it's like, oh, that was about honesty. Oh, that was about being of service. Oh, that was about showing somebody compassion when somebody else had shown it. Like, I would have not known how to do it if somebody else didn't show me how to do it. And it's the opportunity to grow, for real. Like, if the wall is bigger, you jump over it, or you get through it, or get around it, you'll be a lot stronger, smarter, and faster. But that's the dope things about going through these tests. And the purpose thing is crazy, because it's like the devil or the adversary will try and stomp people out, right? Like, I know that right now, the devil sends a bunch of his demons or his soldiers to try and stomp me out. Not because of who I am right now. Like, who I am right now is all right. Like, it's good. But he's trying to stop me out from becoming who I'm supposed to be, right? Like, there was this kid, I almost said punk kid, but he's not a punk kid. There was this kid used to walk around with a slingshot in his back pocket. And the devil sent him his test called Goliath. And the Goliath wasn't there to stomp this kid with a slingshot out. He was trying to, for who he was at that point, he was trying to stomp him out from becoming King David, right?
Let's go. Yeah.
So that's the thing, right? Like, all these tests you face is the devil trying to stop you from becoming who you are. And he sees it. Even though you can't see it in yourself, he sees it. He was like, hey, this guy got potential to shut me down. So we need to go send some soldiers to stop him from becoming King David, or whatever you're supposed to become, find your purpose, find your passion. And I love who I am now because I have a lot of passion and purpose for what it is I do today. And I love it.
Like, I truly love it. Yeah. And I love what you just said. And I think that that's so true. And the adversary is trying to stop us from becoming that person.
Yeah.
They're really trying to stop us from touching the lives of the people around us. One person alone is like a threat. But when you build a community of people that are on the same mindset, same energy, same mission, it's like, that's really what he's hoping that we don't ever come to.
Yeah, like who you are now is already a threat. But then being able to touch more lives is even a bigger threat. And this is just the beginning. Like, you think I'm cool right now, man, I'm just getting started.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, we're just getting started on our journey and we already accomplished a lot of things for ourselves. I know I was able to find true love for who I am right now.
Yeah,
but I'm also just getting started. Like, if I love the version of me right now, I can't wait to see me in a year, in 3 years, and in 5 years.
Right, and the thing is, like, those plants in the background, like that's my visual representation of where I'm at. Like, I planted a bunch of seeds, like, with this podcast, Clean Life, with my friends, with my family, and, like, they're all still babies, you know?
Yeah.
But that plant right there is so much bigger than he was when I got him, you know? And so, like, I just watch him grow, and every single day I think of myself growing the roots and getting stronger and bigger and just moving towards that five-year plan when these plants are huge.
Yeah, gaining strong roots, right? So when the wind blows, it's a quote from Mulan, no matter how hard the wind blows, the mountain will never bow in relation to the adversary, right? Like, same with the plant, right? Like, it's getting strong roots. There's another quote that said, even the seed has to contend with darkness before it can appreciate the light, right? And that's our struggle. We're in dark. We don't know where we're going, but we're headed somewhere. And then all of a sudden, you pull back a couple pieces of dirt, and you can see the sun, and it feels warm, and I want to get more of that. Then you come out, and I'm like, bet.
Yeah, start spreading your leaves.
Yeah, bet. You think I'm cute now? Wait until you see the flowers pop up.
Let's go.
You know what I mean? Like, we're just getting started, and I feel like there's a lot of things accomplished and a lot of things waiting to be accomplished. We're going to get it.
Well, we're here, bro, and I love that. So, let's see. So a lot of people say that, like that they feel lost and they don't know how or why they're even here. Like, what's their purpose to be here in life? What do you think that you would say to somebody that, say I was at Wasatch and I was like, bro, I just don't feel like I have what it takes. I can't get it together. And I just don't know why, what my purpose even is.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't know my purpose when I was lost too. I had no idea that I would end up being of service, which is so funny to say because I was lost too. Like, I used to get jealous of people saying, oh, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. I sat in the dark, just like the sea. Like, there was no light. But I had people show me where the light was. Oh, the light's around there. Like, they put me in the right direction, and I had to fumble through the darkness. And purpose is something that nobody can tell you what your purpose is. Nobody can tell you that this is what's going to make you. You know, like, they can give advice on what they know of you. For me, the way I found my purpose was being transparent with professionals, with Wendy McCarter, Ashley, Todd, all those guys up there, Corey, everybody. I was Sean. I was honest with them because it's like, okay, like when you read a book, when you get done, you understand the whole book. But if you're not transparent with people that can help you, it's like reading every other page and now fill out a big book report about it, right? You can only do half the story. So I was just, when I finally surrendered to the idea of being a good guy, I had to just trust in the process. And by going through the process, I was able to find that I like being honest. I like helping people. I started telling people when I was at Wasatch I was going to work up there when I was still in residential.
Followed your lead on that.
Yeah, but not knowing, never understanding that would be a purpose mission, you know, never understanding that was going to be my passion. It's something you have to discover in yourself, but you also have to trust the process, right? This guy said, can you trust in the process without being emotionally attached to the outcome? And to me, that means like cross all your T's, dot all your I's, throw the dart the best you can, and wherever it lands, accept that that's where it landed, knowing that the next time you get the dart, it'll hit closer to the bullseye, right? It's just trusting in the process, and regardless of where it ends up, be all right with it and move forward. And somewhere along the line, before you find purpose, find you. Like, you got to understand who you are in order to understand where you're going.
Let's go.
Where you've been, where you've been is only going to, you can take it as a gas to your right or as brakes. You can stop at a stop sign and just be like, oh, play victim to it. Or you can use your gas to keep pushing you forward. Take your past. I remember Bruce Wayne was talking to Flash. Sorry for all the quotes, but
no, I love him, bro.
But Bruce Wayne was talking to Flash because Flash figured if he could run fast enough, he could turn back time, and he wanted to save his mom because his mom died. And Bruce Wayne caught Flash outside of a gas station, and he said, "Our scars make us who we are. We're not meant to go back and fix them, and there's nothing broken with us that needs to be fixed. Don't let your trauma define you. Live your life, not your past."
Say it again, but slower.
Okay. Okay. Our scars make us who we are. We're not meant to go back and fix them, and there's nothing broken with us that needs to be fixed. Don't let your trauma define you. Live your life, not your past.
Let's go.
Right? That's what that is to me. It's like you can take your trauma and let it stop you in your tracks, and you can play victim to it all you want. The only thing that's going to come out of that is somebody that's a victim. Or you can use it like me and have it drive me and let me go to somewhere I've never gone before. There's nothing that I do now that relates to anything I've done in my past, because I used my past to get me to a spot where I've never been to. Everything I'm doing now is new. This is brand new. Love to me, love for myself is brand new. But that's how I found my passion, was to be able to go do all these things I've never done before, trust the process, listen to people that know better than me, because my ideas was never a good idea.
I think that, like, you hit on some solid, like, points right here. It's like, for myself, like, if I break it all the way down, it goes, get my body right, my mind right, my spirit right. Those first three things that have to come into alignment. Yeah. You have to get healthy physically, mentally, spiritually.
Yeah. And then pull them all together.
Yeah, you pull them all together and you become one person. Yeah. And then that's what you said about getting to know yourself first, to know where you want to go. The next thing I think is, like, this is debatable, but honestly, I think that this is the only answer for me, was finding a mentorship, like people that have already done the work or already been through the path or already built the business or already done the podcast, and ask them questions. Yep. Like, go and get in their brain, get my therapist, and Megan, shout out Megan, we didn't shout her out last week. I sent her a text this week. I said, "Hey, I love you guys. I miss y'all." But like, I feel like the mentorship and people that you can look to that have already stood up, like Todd always says, standing on the shoulders of giants, you know, like when you can see that somebody has done it and then going and picking their brain and getting the real, this is the steps that it took. Yeah. Then it gave me like a real momentum to keep going. And then there was one other thing that you said, but I can't exactly remember what it was. So I'm just going to ask you this real quick. So on the hard days, on the days that you're like struggling through it and like you don't want to do the thing, you know, like, what is it that you use to anchor yourself to, like, pull you back to your why?
There's a bunch of things. Like, depending on the situation, because all of this is situational, right? Some days, those things, I can sit and process it myself because, you know, I was a good student. Wendy can vouch for that. Like, they taught me a bunch of things that I know how to use for myself. When it feels too heavy for that, there's a bunch of people I call. I call Miranda. I call Dee. I call Lindsay. Shout out to Aubrey, Katie. Like, I have good circle around me. I know I can use your number. Dalton, there's a bunch of, Sandy, there's a bunch of people that I can call when it feels more heavy than that. And then
this goes on and on.
On and on. And then when it feels like it, more. When it feels,
I get thinking 10 more people.
Yeah, it feels like I need somebody more, like I need more experience, like somebody with more experience. I was joking around about it this morning. Like, I go hit up Wendy, or Jason, my therapist, shout out to Jason. But like, I go ask Wendy, I go, "Wendy, you got 5 minutes?" And she goes like this, "You got 5 minutes?" Because she knows I walk into her office and close the door behind me sometimes and take up like 30 minutes. And then, but she's cool with it. Like, there's
her purpose and her passion.
Yeah.
That's what's amazing too, is we can all be living our same purpose and passion together.
Yeah. But that's the cool thing. Like, there's so many different ways. The other thing I do is like, If it's something that's taking longer than what I expect it to be, I go distract, right? And it's all right to distract as long as you go back to it, right? You can't just distract, put it in a bottle and hope it gets better. Ah, that's the old life. That's where you just go numb out, or you just ignore it and hope it goes away. It'll come out. It'll still come back if you never readdress it. But the next time it comes out, it might come out sideways. It might come out mutated. It might come out worse than it was before you put it away. So definitely talking about it, talking like what I said before, reaching out to people and talking about it. But there's a bunch of, it's all situational to me. Depending on the situation, I know that there's a bunch of stuff I can work on with myself, but I also know I have this great community that I know I can trust, and what I give them is the same, or they give me back more. But it's cool.
So I missed. So I just realized what it was that I missed on that thing earlier. Okay.
Yeah.
So that body, mind, spirit, like you're finding yourself, getting a mentor, and then like I can't believe I missed this one because it's the most important one. But faith, like in mind, is for me is God, like that ability to trust the process and ability to trust that like you do your very best work, everything that you put it all out there, and then you can release from the outcome and you let whatever your higher power is, God for me, guide the path, because it will unfold as you take the steps. Like I read something yesterday that said something like a action, or like your direction doesn't come until you take the action. You know what I mean? Like you, the action comes first and then your motivation comes after, you know, like you don't start seeing the path until you start taking the steps.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's good too. Like it, that quote is dope. It's, can you trust the process without being emotionally attached to the outcome, right? And it's easy to say a quote. Like, it's easy to say that because there's some situations where when it doesn't work out my way, it does kind of sting a little bit. But as long as I'm not like, well, I tried my best, I give up. No, just being all right with, like, I remember when the Escalade first came out, I was like, I'm going to get me an Escalade. So I started, me and my wife started saving up money, calling around to places. We're going to get an Escalade, right? Every place we went, turned us down. Finally ended up at a spot where they gave us a car. It was an Isuzu Trooper. But I drove it like an Escalade.
Let's
because
go.
I was like, well, if I can't get an Escalade, we got some rims on it, put a dope system in it, blacked out the windows, put a strip on top of the windshield. Like I drove it like an Escalade because if that's the best it was going to give me, lemons, lemonade type stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Like I... It was a dope whip.
Yeah.
It wasn't an Escalade, but it was,
it's close
it was
enough.
Cool. Yeah. Right. It's trusting in the process, right? Like being all right with wherever it is you land. And when you, like, let's say you throw a dart, wherever the dart lands, right? Accepting where it hit is saying that, okay, that's where I hit, but I know if I keep working at it, I'll hit the bullseye someday. Right.
It's just persistence and consistency and like training. Like it's like a training for your mind, for your spirit. And like you said, it is more easy to say the quotes than to live them out. But like when it comes to like faith in the direction, like it's getting a lot easier for me to have faith that God's going to align it because I've been doing this daily. Like every single day I work on my mindset. Every single day I work on my spirit. And like, so it's not perfect and it's still a struggle a lot. Yeah. And like some days feel a lot harder than others, but because I have a certain things that I've trained my mind to do, I stay positive most of the time and I stay committed to like God's path, like doing the will of God. And like those two things have just kept pushing me forward in every situation I need them to.
Yeah. I like that you said positive most of the time, because not every situation is going to leave you with a positive mindset, and it's all right. Like, it's all right to feel whatever emotions come up for you as long as you know how to process through it. And usually the thoughts, right, going to thoughts. The thoughts are just thoughts. What makes it good or bad is the action behind the thought. Like I was talking about triggers with some of the people at Sober Living. And I was like, yeah, I keep having these triggering dreams or, like, relapse dreams. And I was like, yeah, but those are just thoughts. Every once in a while in group, I'll think about smoking some meth or going out and drinking. I was like, yeah, those are just thoughts, and it's the way of our brain healing. And the most important part is the action that happens after those thoughts. And the fact that you're still sitting here proves that it was just a thought. It was just a passing thought, and you're all right, you know?
Yeah, and I read in a book one time about that, about how like our brains are just like organs, just like our heart, like they have a job to do, and they can consistently do that job. And our brain's job is to sit and judge and to make assumptions and to recognize patterns, and so it will constantly be spitting out things. There's constant chatter in your brain, and it's not necessarily anything to do with you, period. It's just its job, you know. So like if it's trained to be negative or trained to judge people or trained to look at everything like glass half empty type things, then your brain will constantly just give you that feedback. But as soon as you can train it to like think glass half full and positivity and God and direction and purpose, then all of a sudden that chatter becomes a lot more like a lot funner to be around.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's something that doesn't stay perfect, and it's something that has to be worked on.
Yeah, and perfect is overrated. Yep. Once you consider yourself perfect, you stunt your ability to grow, right? It should always be, Progress.
Progress.
You know, for me. And then it's funny that I just heard this thing. This guy was arguing with himself about the glass being half empty or half full. And sometimes we just got to have gratitude that we have a glass.
You There's know, like, anything in it
If
at
it's
all.
Half empty, half full, who cares? I got a glass of something. You know, like some gratitude around the way things are in life. Like not everything is the way it is or isn't. Like some gratitude helps me go a long way. But I like how you tie the mind, the body, and the soul together, because like I feel like there's got to be a balance between those three. When I got to Wasatch Recovery, I was focused on just stop doing drugs. But then they helped me understand that if I'm going to fix my mindset, I might as well take care of my spiritual and my physical too. And the balance of those three, like feeding all those three and growing them, has helped me like be cool with me. You know, like,
I'm cool with you too.
Yeah, like
I love you.
Yeah, love you, brother.
That's all. I think on our next episode we're going to talk about is like that part that you just said, because I think that's something that me and him both share, that we speak about when we go to schools or like speak at treatment centers, is we talk about a lot about self-worth and self-love. And so I'm thinking on this next episode we're going to break into that, because that's I think maybe the starting point.
Yeah, no, I'm cool with whatever you, bro. I love this. This is definitely purposeful for me.
Me too.
And developing a huge passion for it. Like, I love it.
All right. So thank you, for real. Yeah. I think that like that was huge, bro. And I think that honestly, like if we continue on this path, like we're going to do so much for ourselves and for our community. Yeah. That it's just like a beautiful, beautiful thing. And yeah. I think that I love that we have people that are showing up for us. Like that's huge, because yeah. Our analytics for our first episode, bro, like that was real. Like
yeah, was
I've dope. Done a lot of things, bro. Like recently I've done a lot of work and I've done a lot of like growth, but for some reason this podcast means more to me than
a bunch of other things.
Yeah, mostly.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's the same thing like me working up there. I get paid. I could go to another job and make a lot more money, but I'd rather be in a space where I feel like I have purpose. It's not just a job. I feel a lot of peace in my mind. And when I leave work, I feel spiritually fed. And those things that I don't get on the check are worth way more than the number they do put on it. And that's my purpose.
I think that's that's another thing that I wish we could have went down, is like Dharma. Have you ever heard of the word Dharma?
Yeah.
So I read that in this thing like a monk book with Jay Shetty.
You told me about
Dharma. Oh, yeah. And that's kind of what Dharma is like when you're living your passion, your purpose, and making like a career or like making a living off of doing those things. Like there's more to it. I'm going to look into it more and then we'll come back to it next week, because I don't want to botch it, because it is seriously powerful.
Yeah, you told me about that when you was in residential.
And yeah, oh yeah, because yeah. I was reading the book in there.
Yeah.
And that really changed the way I looked at a lot of things, because I'm like, if I can do the thing I love, the thing that I'm passionate about, live within my purpose, which is service to others, and then make a career out of that, and then I'm not really working ever.
Yeah.
I'm just always just being me.
Yeah, there's no way that's just a job, right?
Right.
Like being able to love what you do and then what you do, you love, is filled with purpose.
It's a beautiful thing, bro.
That would be so sick.
And all right. So if this episode spoke to you guys, hit subscribe, please. Leave a review. Share it with someone who needs encouragement today. But because healing isn't just personal. It's a movement.
It's a movement.
We're doing this thing together. It's not like we're all in this together. And so like the more that we can help each other, the more that we can reach out to others in need, or the more that we can help people thrive that are like in that position that are ready to start thriving, it's going to not just change one person. It's like if you have both of us together, it creates an extra space of like energy. If there's 10 of us together, I mean, imagine what we could do. So I love you guys. I love you, Daniel.
Love you.
Super
too,
grateful for you. Yeah. Clean Life Community, if you guys need to reach out to us, we're everywhere. So
yeah, love you guys.
Love you, Dylan.